Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily. Joe Giglio, if you're appreciative and listening, subscribing, following the podcast, YouTube feed is 94 WIP. Check it out there. Tough one last night for the Phillies in a lot of ways. Look, Aaron Nola is struggling, and it's been a struggle for 2 years now. The ERA back over six. The Phillies are going to have to get themselves a starting pitcher, and one that obviously has the ability to take down a playoff start. I take down playoff starts as the game four guy because Aaron Nola is just completely untrustworthy right now, even when it looks like it's good. And it did. I was at the game last night. It looked like it was good early, and then it just saw the pieces very, very quickly. The Pirates have now blasted him twice this season. So, lots to get into in the midday show today, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. alongside Hugh Douglas, Odyssey app, YouTube, and of course, 94 WIP on your radio. So, be tuned into that. I want to get into today, though. The Nola thing is obviously going to be a big thing in the city today, but I was thinking about something last night being at the game, you know, seeing the Trey home run, seeing the Harper home run, seeing the two home runs from Marsh. You know, the Phillies have an incredible amount of pop right now in their lineup, and they're hitting. And yesterday, when I was writing a piece for my newsletter about where the Phillies rank offensively, kind of how they're being carried by these top three guys with Schwarber, with Harper, and Marsh, and the power and where they are in home runs. Like, the only area where the Phillies really stood out in terms of the positive ledger for offense is home runs. They're hitting home runs. They're generating, and this is obviously carried by Schwarber, but also Harper's got 20 now. And Marsh is bumping up against 15. They have home runs are not the problem for the Phillies. Like, when you construct what you want at the deadline, obviously, in a perfect world, we'd all love a perfect hitter, right? A guy that gets on base a lot, that has high slugging, can run the bases, all that. But, you know, beggars can't be choosers. And the Phillies are going into a deadline where there's a lot of teams out there looking for a lot of different things. And this is a seller's market, right? If you go and look at the six or so teams maybe in baseball that are definitely dead and out of it, they're in the advantage because there are 24 teams coming for their players. So they can create a bidding war with those teams against each other for the specific need. So this is going to be a challenging deadline for the Phillies to get what they want. But also, they're shopping in a similar aisle to everybody else. And what I mean by that is, like, all right, the Phillies want a bat. The Phillies probably preferably want a right-handed bat, or at least a bat that could hit left-handed pitching. Okay. They want that bat to be really good. All right, well, now you're in the same aisle, bumping elbows with 15 other teams now looking for the exact same thing. So I'm looking for a way the Phillies could stand out, can maybe move 3 feet to the left and see an end cap on an aisle that is all theirs to their own, that no one's paying attention to. And I'm not trying to say I'm going for a player that is not good or a player that is not productive. But maybe when we look under the hood of what the Phillies are, we could recalibrate what they need. So as I went and looked yesterday at their numbers, what stood out to me was that the power is not a problem. That they're generating more than enough home runs to go in the World Series. What the issue and what is holding down their team and holding down their offense from benefiting as much from all those home runs is their on-base percentage. The Phillies have one of the worst on-base percentages in baseball. That's the biggest problem, and it stems from Trey Turner. I know he got on base a couple times last night, hit a home run. But Trey Turner's inability to consistently get on base this season has suppressed the offense. It has been a big reason why the offense has had good days, but not great days. It's in the middle of a great month, but it took 2 months to get to a great month. He doesn't get on base enough. It is as simple as that. And if he was on base more, with a trio of Schwarber, Harper, Marsh, the Phillies, based on how those three guys hit this season, would be scoring way more runs. So while, you know, there's going to be an expectation or a desire to go out there and get a big bat, perhaps that big bat doesn't have to be big. It just has to be smart. Perhaps the big bat the Phillies try to go get at the deadline doesn't have to come with Bulk or Hulk. It has to come with an eye. Perhaps that big bat the Phillies will get at the deadline doesn't have to hit the ball over the wall, but rather just take his base and stand on first and then jog home with Schwarber and Harper and Marsh hit bombs. Perhaps that's the way Dave Dombrowski needs to go. So I have, you know, as we look through the possibilities for the Phillies between now and July, you know, the number that always stands out, it always stands out to all of us because it is the number now that really defines offensive baseball and how offensive players are measured is OPS. But yesterday when we had Buzz in filling in for Kyle on the midday show, he, you know, we were doing this thing where we finished the Phillies, right? We finished the Phillies and we have a new trade candidate every single day. And we try to guess who it is and we talk about how much it would take to get him and blah, blah, blah. Well, when Buzz threw out yesterday in our segment about the guy's OPS, it was like 730 or whatever, this particular player. My first thought was, okay, well, how does he derive his OPS? Is he deriving his OPS through his power and he's a big slug, low OBP guy? Or is he deriving it through OBP and he's a kind of a slap singles hitter? Nick Gonzalez for the Pirates. I was at the game last night and I saw his numbers on the board, you know, because I was sitting at, left fieldish area. And guy's got a good, really good OBP. He doesn't slug much, right? So his OPS is a little suppressed. So, you know, you get there in multiple ways.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm going to unpack that more now because I think that might be the Phillies' best way to acquire what they need that might separate them from what another team's needs. You know, there's probably going to be three or four teams out there that say, we need power. We need pop. And they're going to go for the outfield that has that. And for the Phillies, there is one potentially available. And I will say potentially available because his team is one of the 24 that is quote unquote in it. We'll see where they are a month from now. I did hear their general manager last week say they're going to go for it. So perhaps this is moot. But he's a free agent in B. And he's had a transformation in his career, which I find fascinating. And that is Taylor Ward. Name's been connected to the Phillies before. I believe it'll be connected again. Taylor Ward has transformed his game from an outfielder that probably wouldn't have fit the bill that I'm speaking of right now to an outfielder that probably fits the bill better than anyone else. Taylor Ward has been a 30-plus home run guy in his career, has been a guy that has had 30-plus home runs and an on-base percentage of under 300. I remember saying in years past, Taylor Ward's got to pop, but I don't like it as a walk enough or get on base enough. Well, he has totally transformed his game, really in a complete 180. Why, what the impetus was, I don't know, but it's obvious when you watch him. Taylor Ward's power numbers have dropped pretty significantly to where Taylor Ward is trending towards being a 10 to 15 home run guy instead of a 30 home run guy, which is curious, heading towards his free agency. So that in itself feels like, you know, let's sound the alarms. He's in decline, yet his on-base percentage has skyrocketed 100 points. He's in the 380s as we have this conversation. He was around 400 for a lot of the season. He has been one of the best walk guys and on-base guys in Major League Baseball all year. So if you knew nothing about the player, which you might not until I'm talking about him right now, and I just told you about the player, he fits this particular, and it's a very particular need, like a glove. I mean, perfectly. Because if you had Taylor Ward, this version of Taylor Ward, what you could do was put him in the leadoff spot and tell him, hey, the approach you've had all season, I just want you to do that. Just get on base in front of Schwarber and Harper. And you were going to score a ton of runs. And the other thing it would do, and I feel like Trey Turner has been caught a lot of times in his career between what they want him to be, what he wants to be, and what he is. So when he was young, he was everything. Trey's not everything now. And Trey has to make conscious decisions of what kind of player to be. And last year, he made the conscious decision, and he went with what the team wanted him to do, and he prioritized just getting singles, And he had a good contact year. He had a good batting average on ball and play year. He won a batting title. Deep down, I don't think that's the way Trey wants to hit. I've seen him backspin too many baseballs, talk about backspinning baseballs, the power binge he went on in 23. I think Trey Turner wants to hit bombs to left field. And I think he wants to slug more than he has, because I think deep down he knows his eye's not good enough and his discipline's not good enough to consistently walk enough. So if he's going to have that OPS in a respectable area, which at this point, if he gets to 700, I will be happy with his season, considering how much he spent in the low 600s. So, but if he wants a respectable OPS, he's going to have to hit some home runs. I think he realizes that. So if Taylor Ward was the guy, and or the Phillies got a player like Taylor Ward, I think he's the best version. Mike Trout's OBP is even higher than Taylor Ward's. Mike Trout's a better player. Mike Trout's hurt right now. Mike Trout brings both. I mean, that the ideal superstar player is Mike Trout. But the ideal for the Phillies, realistic version of this, probably is Taylor Ward. If the Phillies could get a Taylor Ward, a guy with a let's conservatively say 360 and or better on base percentage. If they could find that player and plug him into the leadoff spot and then go, that player, let's use Taylor Ward just as a kind of a placeholder, Kyle Schwarber, Bryce Harper, Brandon Marsh, Trey Turner. That's how I would do my lineup. I would go that way, and then I would start mixing that. You go Stott at 6. You go Boehm at 7. You could go Real Muto at 8. You go Crawford at 9. And you could start mixing and matching the bottom of the order. But I would put Trey in more of a power RBI position. Let him try to backswing the ball. Let him try to hit doubles and triples and home runs and not worry so much about the singles. And if he's got a glut of bases in front of him because teams pitched around the lefties to get to him, all right. Well, they have no place to put Trey Turner. They're going to give him strikes to hit. And maybe he gets hot that way. He's actually got a little bit hot lately. I mean, his defense is atrocious, and that throw last night was bad. But maybe that's the way. And maybe that's the Phillies' best path here to putting together the best offense. I think when we think big bat, we think home runs. We think a slugger. This time, with the emergence offensively of Brandon Marsh and the consistent power of Schwarber Harper, the Phillies don't really, quote unquote, need any more slug. Like, you always take it. There's something, I mean, more home runs are good. You're never going to turn down home runs as quick, easy offense. It's like you're never going to turn down three-point shooting in basketball. But that's not what the Phillies need. They need someone that could get on base at a consistent rate, at a high rate, at an exceptional rate. Taylor Ward of the Baltimore Orioles is doing that. Mike Trout was doing it before his injury. You know, we can kind of go through and comb through the list to try to find a few more. But I think Ward's going to end up being, if we're in that aisle with all the shoppers and everyone's trying to grab the same box off the shelf, that other one, that other box to the left that no one's grabbing, that could be the Phillies one. And that could be the antidote to what's missing here and maybe the missing piece to this particular offense. Maybe a year or two ago, same player with these other players, I wouldn't have wanted him. But he's transformed. This Phillies team has transformed a little bit. They need a little shot in the arm. They need on base percentage. They need walks. They need people, especially at the top of the order, to just be on the base paths for Schwarber and Harper and Marsh. That will change a lot about the way this offense functions, about the way this offense rolls, about how many runs they put on the board. It will be a big, big difference. Now, so we got to root for over the next month or so is the Orioles to give up on this dream they have of making the playoffs. The Orioles have had a weird season where they've just kind of hovered a game to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 under 500 for months. I mean, maybe they tipped 500 once or twice, maybe. But very, very rare to have them there. They have basically just hung out a little bit under 500 because the American League is so bad. I get it. They're like, why wouldn't we give up? You know, why wouldn't we go for it? Maybe we have a hot August, September, we're in the postseason, and here we go. So I get it. It's going to take a lot for them to fully fall out of it. But even if they stay in it, or even if they're going to like halfway stay in it and not trade off any big pieces, You know, Ward's a depending free agent. So if they wake up on August 3rd and they are four games out of a playoff spot, I think they're going to trade Taylor Ward because it just doesn't make sense to lose him for nothing when they get something for him. And they could also probably still convince themselves they could make a run the final 2 months, you know, by getting something else or having something else. I mean, I can't imagine they look at it as like Taylor Ward is the only reason we're in this, right? They have Pete Alonso, they have Samuel Basayo. I mean, they've got some hitters. Adley Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson. They've got some star players there. So that's probably where that's going to go. I think Ward gets traded, and the Phillies should be very, very, very high up the list to try to get him. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Our YouTube feed is 94 WIP. Be listening to the WIP Midday Show, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Check out the newsletter, joe-gilio-beehiv.com. Thank you so much for listening to WIP Daily.